الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، قد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وهل أتاك نبأ الخصم إذ تسوروا المحراب إذ دخلوا على داود ففزع منهم قالوا لا تخف خصمان بغى بعضنا على بعض فاحكم بيننا بالحق ولا تشطط واهدنا إلى سواء الصراط. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's given us this beautiful opportunity yet again, this opportunity of gathering on the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great, great, great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Pak continue allowing us and giving us, granting us this opportunity of being present on the occasion of Jumu'ah, many folds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of taking full advantage of this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. Anyway, my topic for today is a topic that is fairly relevant in the sense that there are many, many business disputes today. Many, many disputes. Almost as though there seems to be a flood of disputes that are coming in. And disputes ranging from disputes between partners, disputes between heirs of an estate, beneficiaries of a partnership, and disputes between co-shareholders, sometimes disputes between associates, sometimes disputes between brothers, and sometimes disputes between lifelong friends. And many a times, or very often it happens, or it occurs from, or sourcing from events that are of a very petty nature. So petty that there was no need for such a huge dispute to come. So our Shariat, our Deen is so beautiful that it teaches us in all different sectors of our life how to deal with the different aspects and challenges that face us. To that extent that even when it comes to business disputes, how does two Muslims, how do they resolve it? How do they amicably settle the dispute that they find themselves in? This ayat of the Quran which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions an incident. He says, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ. Dawud alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him immense knowledge. He was not only a Nabi, but besides being a very great Nabi, Allah Pak had given him very, very great knowledge even as far as qada is concerned, as far as giving rulings and far as giving verdicts is concerned. And he had one special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, that in his kingdom, that at every minute somebody was in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his household also somebody was involved and engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we should also see how we can bring in our household, maybe not every minute, but at every given opportunity, every golden opportunity, there's somebody in our household that is doing some form of ibadah. So anyway, coming back to Dawud alayhi salam, that Allah Pak mentions, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ. Did the information, did the story of Dawud alayhi salam reach you with regards to the two litigants, the two people in dispute? Is تَسَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. What they had done is they had come to Dawud alayhi salam for a ruling, but their approach was a very different approach. What they had done was they had climbed over the wall. This word mihrab in Arabic actually means front elevation. The front wall, the front elevation, this is what is called mihrab. Or it can refer to an upper closet. Later on, because the mihrab formed the front wall of the masjid, so therefore now the front part of the masjid is also called mihrab, but initially it referred to the front elevation. So what they had done is tasawwar al-mihrab, they had scaled the wall, and they had come in where Dawud alayhi salam was. So naturally, if somebody comes in an unusual way, in an uninformed manner, somebody just pitches up, it will create a natural fright in a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is dakhalu ala Dawud fafazi'a minhum, that when these two people had suddenly come into by Dawud alayhi salam, he got afraid. Naturally, he got afraid. A thought might come to the mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained as far as the Anbiya alayhi salam is concerned. الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخْشُونَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That those people that have, referring to the Anbiya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Anbiya alayhi salam such that لَا يَخْشُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They don't fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anbiya alayhi salam don't fright for anyone. But here Dawud alayhi salam, the ayat of the Quran says, فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ, that he became frightened for these two people. Ulama beautifully explain that what is the difference between khashyat and what is the difference between khawf. Khashyat is to fear somebody because of the position of that person. I am afraid for this person because of his maqam, that he is the president, this person is the member of parliament, this person is a very influential person, he's a very affluent person, this person is a king. So because of his maqam and his position, to fear somebody, this is known as khashyat, that Anbiya alayhi salam never had. They didn't fright for anybody because of that person's position. The only person they feared because of his position is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what the ayat is speaking, لَا يَخْشَوْنَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that they only had that khashyat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as khawf is concerned, khawf means to have fear for anything that causes harm. A person frights for a lion, that is a tab'i, natural thing. That also, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they had. It doesn't mean that a person frights for a lion, his iman is weak. It is a natural thing. A person frights for a snake, a person frights for a robber, a person frights for a hijacker, a person frights for anything that can cause harm to him. This is totally natural. It doesn't mean that a person has got weak iman. So sometimes a person will drive recklessly, and another person might be sitting with him and he's getting afraid. The person is driving, saying, you don't have iman. No, no, that got nothing to do with iman. This is natural fear that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Anbiya alayhi salam had. So anyway, continuing with this verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ, Dawud alayhi salam got afraid of them. قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ, immediately they both told Dawud alayhi salam, they don't fright, don't fear. So one point from here we take, which ulama explained, is that if we have to do something against the norm, if we have to do something or phone somebody or appear by somebody or suddenly approach somebody out of the norm, the first thing we should do is bring the person at ease. Make the person feel easy. This is part of our deen, the salam that we make when we first meet somebody. This assalamu alaikum, the first thing we're doing is we're telling the person, you be at ease. That peace be upon you. What we are telling him actually is, be at ease. You shouldn't fear any harm from me. So Islam loves this. Therefore, when it comes to robbery, when it comes to highway robbery, when it comes to theft in Islam, it is not taken lightly. People may look at it as being barbaric, but it's not barbaric, because one person stealing is putting so many people in the community, making so many people uneasy. People are afraid, people are scared. This is not something that Islam likes. Islam likes that a person should be psychologically at ease, mentally at ease, person should be physically at ease. This is all part of our deen. As the Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, the information of janazah, the news of janazah of some family member had come to him. It was the month of Ramadan and it was just before the time of Sihri. So he tells his satis, his companions around him, he said, don't let this janazah news go home. The reason being is the family, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi's family, would stay up the whole night in ibadat in the month of Ramadan. This was their normal practice. So they have stayed up the whole night in ibadat, and now at the time of Sihri, if they get this information, they won't eat. It will be difficult for them to eat. Any sad news comes to anybody, it feels very hard to eat. So don't give them the news now. It will perhaps interfere with their Sihri, so they won't be able to eat. And don't send the news also after Sihri, because they have stayed up the whole night. After Fajr, they normally take a rest for a while. It will interfere with their rest also. So let that information go to them after they have eaten the Sihri, after they had their rest. Later on, now the news can go to them. At that point now, the eating wouldn't have been affected, and nor would their sleeping been affected, because they would have eaten properly, they would have slept properly, and now that news could have been given to them. So this teaches us something also, that when giving information and when giving news, be very particular about the time that we give it. Sometimes we just want to forward, we want to just phone. One incident, one light-hearted incident, as the Mullah Yunus Patel Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, would mention, that on one occasion at about 12 o'clock at night, one person phoned him up. So he woke up from his sleep,
little bit worried. Somebody phones you at that time, normally you get worried. So he says that person phoned him up and told him that, Hazrat, there's a lot of excitement on our side. A lot of excitement. So he said, he thought to himself that on my side there's no excitement. But anyway, let me listen to what he has to say. He said, we've got our first grandchild. So we are so excited over the grandchild that has been born. So then Mawlana made dua for him and gave him some duas. So he asked for some names. Give me some names. So Mawlana says that every name I gave him, he said it was so common. This name is common, that name is common, this name this person got, that name that person got. So then eventually, jokingly, I told him that why don't you keep this baby's name Alu Piaj? Alu Piaj. Nobody got that name. This is such an uncommon name. If you're looking for something that is uncommon. But anyway, the point is that even a message like this, that somebody has given birth, somebody passed away, what difference is going to make to that person if you tell him at 12 o'clock or you tell him after Fajr Salah or in the morning when you see him? Give him that message at that time so you don't affect his sleep. This is all part of our deen. Look how far Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi was thinking that even this janazah notice shouldn't be given to my family so it affects them. Now just on a side note, very often we'll get on our cell phones coming. Sometimes it's something that happened in Syria, something that happened in Palestine, something that happened in Kashmir, whatever it may be. So often we take the news immediately and we just keep forwarding it to one person, to the next person, to the next person. The better thing to do is request people to make dua for the ummah. And that is much better than making people sad, making people frightened. How many people are getting depressed? Psychologically they're getting affected. Mentally they're getting affected. This is something that is not encouraged in our deen. Hazrat Mawlana Shafali Tanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi in this ayat, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. He explains very beautifully. He says that the Quran is telling us, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. That don't grieve, don't become sad. Don't, telling us that don't make yourself sad. But sometimes we ourselves bring upon sadness upon ourselves. Sadness is not something that we bring. Yes, a mu'min at times will get sad. He's a human being, he's insan. Things will come, it will make him sad. But deliberately he won't be clicking on things that will, he'll watch and make him feel sad. He'll listen that will make him feel sad. He doesn't bring upon sadness. He brings upon happiness. The Quran tells us, Bashiru, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Bashiru, wala tunaffiru. The Quran gives us glad tidings about Jannah and so many different types of glad tidings, not telling us to bring upon, not telling us to bring upon sadness upon ourselves. So anyway, this is just on a side note that we should always try and see how we can make people feel good, people feel nice, rather than encouraging and bringing upon different types of sadnesses upon a person. Sometimes you'll find in India, especially you'll get this, that at the time of a wedding, they will play some types of Al-Wida songs, some types of songs that will make the whole family feel sad now that they're losing the daughter. So everyone is crying, everyone is... Now that is an occasion of happiness, but yet people bring upon sadness upon themselves. So this is something that we should just be careful. So this first thing that these people had said, they were, Allah Pak had said them, they were malaika sent in the form of human beings. So they told Dawud alayhi salam, they told him, La takhaf, don't fear. Then they explained who they were. So the next thing ulama explained is that we come to a person, or we phone a person, don't ask that person, guess who's speaking on this side. Rather, better thing to do is tell the person who is speaking, so you don't keep the person in suspense. So anyway, they explain who they are. They said, Khasmani bagha ba'duna ala ba'din fahkum baynana bilhaq wala tushtit wahdina ila sawa'is sirat. So they said, we are two litigants, we are two disputants, we had come and we've got a problem. But what Dawud alayhi salam, what we're telling you is, fahkum baynana bilhaq, that you pass a verdict between us, you be the arbitrator between us, bilhaq wud haq. Now whenever there's a business dispute, the first thing that should be sought after is we want haq to prevail. I don't want my ego to prevail. I don't want my reputation to prevail. I want haq to prevail. Even if it means me being on the wrong end of the verdict, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. So the first thing they're telling Dawud alayhi salam, fahkum baynana bilhaq. Next thing, wala tushtit. Don't overstep the mark. Imagine. Don't overstep. It's possible that the person that is listening is getting influenced by the person that is arguing. The person that is placing that argument, the person that is listening can be influenced. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one in Abu Dawud Sharif, this hadith is mentioned, that two people had come to him with an estate dispute. A dispute in an estate matter. Deceased estate matter. They had come to him with a dispute. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he could attend to the dispute, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses both of them, he speaks to them, and he tells them, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ, that verily I am a human being. وَإِنَّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ إِلَيَّ, you people bring your disputes to me. وَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ أَن يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ, it is possible that one of you is more eloquent, more articulate, more is more efficient in presenting his case than the other. فَأَنَا أَخْضِي بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعُ, and I give the verdict according to what I listen. So one person may have a very powerful advocate. He may have a very powerful attorney. And the other person may not have a powerful attorney. But because of the way this attorney presented his case, he's got the ruling. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cautioning. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the highest authority. Higher than the high court, higher than the supreme court. At that level, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cautioning. He's saying that I give the ruling according to what I hear. So how much more vulnerable is the average man in the court? Sometimes a person walks away with the verdict and he feels so proud that I got the verdict in my favor. Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cautioning that I give the verdict according to what I hear. فَمَنْ قَضَيْتُ لَهُ مِنْ حَقِّ أَخِيهِ فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, and for whoever I give the verdict in his favor, but I have given a right of his brother to him, because I present the case according to the merit of the case, according to how it was presented, I give the verdict. So I have given the right of one person to another. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, don't take one inch from there. Never mind, I have given the verdict. You don't take one inch from there. Why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, إِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِّن نَارٍ, that I've actually given you a portion of the fire of Jahannam. That you're taking that verdict, you're taking the right of your brother away. It doesn't mean that when a person got a court case, he should, or any type of case, or any type of matter, he shouldn't prepare for it. There was one incident where there was a Bedouin that had a case, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attending to the case, and the Bedouin had absolutely no preparation done. He had come with no evidence, no proof to present, nothing, absolutely nothing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forced to give the verdict in favor of the other party. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the verdict in favor of the other party, this Bedouin, he said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me. How good a guardian, how good a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he's saying that although you've given the verdict against me, Allah Pak is sufficient for me. What a thing to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned him day and day. And he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَلُومُ عَنِ الْعَجْزِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproaches. Allah does not like a person's incapability, his inability to prepare. When there is a opportunity, or when this is a situation where you should prepare, a person should prepare. Like a person who's writing an examination, he can't just go into an examination and say, حَزْبُنَ اللَّهُ نِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, Allah Pak is enough for me. This is not correct. A person who needs to prepare beforehand for a lecture, he should prepare beforehand for a lecture. Like that, if there's a meeting that needs to be prepared for, a person needs to prepare for a meeting, that's all part of our deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproaches that the fact just a person doesn't prepare. So this is all part of our deen, where there's need to prepare, a person prepares. Anyway, moving on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now tells these two people, إِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِّن نَارٍ, that I've actually apportioned for you a portion of the fire of Jahannam if I've given the person the wrong verdict, if I've taken some right of one person and given it to another. So both these parties start crying, they start weeping in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each party is saying that حَقِّي لَكْ, that whatever is my right, you'd have it. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, now he showed us a four-step approach of how to resolve business disputes. And this is the point that I'm trying to get, is our deen has shown us beautifully even how to resolve these matters and these disputes. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, amma idha fa'altuma, that if you're both people now, you'll want to do this, you'll want to resolve, you'll want to sort out this dispute, then use this four-step approach. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he told them, faqtasima, that what you'll do now is you'll divide that estate that is under dispute, divide it into two portions. In our understanding, get your paperwork right, get your figures correct. If your figures are not correct, you won't be able to divide it accordingly, you won't be able to divide it correctly. If it is two partners or three partners, accordingly you should divide it correctly. So once now this is divided correctly, the paperwork is right, the accounting work is right, now the next step becomes very easy. Next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, ثُمَّ تَوَخَّيَ الْحَقِّ. Now you people apply your mind and you people want and hope that you'll want to do the right thing. You'll want to do what is haq. What is the right thing? You'll apply your mind. In other words, you're making the dua also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what we want to do must be the right thing. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, ثُمَّ اسْتَهِمَا. The next thing you do is you draw lots. In other words, we got two portions here in this estate. Who's going to take which portion of the estate? For our understanding, let's keep a simple example. That in an estate, you got cash, you got one building, and you got one business. The business, for example, is worth 3 million. The building is worth 2 million. The bank in the cash is worth 1 million. Who's going to take the business worth 3 million? Who's going to take the building and the cash worth 3 million? Both people might want the building and the cash, or both people might want the business. There's still a potential for dispute. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first told them that separate. Now who's going to take what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them step 3, ثُمَّ اسْتَهِمَا, draw lots. In other words, whoever's lot comes out that I must take this portion, I will take this portion, so long as those portions are equal. If it's not equal now, it will become tantamount to gambling. So therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them first, let's separate it into two. And now once it's in two equal parts, now who's going to take which part? Now this is what you do. ثُمَّ اسْتَهِمَا, draw lots. And just to explain from a practical dimension, people that are assisting in dissolving or helping to resolve disputes, this is one of the most practical methods that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us over 1400 years ago, even in today's time. If you try and use other methods, there's still so many other potentials, that time goes against us to discuss this topic, but there are other potentials of dispute. For example, if we say each person should bid for one property, now the bidding will go, or we give a value to one property, then there will be a dispute as far as the value of that is gone. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us such a nice method that you draw lots. It's a simple, easy-going method. Why? Your niyat is not dunya. Your niyat is akhirat. Your niyat is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains the last step, ثُمَّ اسْتَحَالَ. Then what you do after this now, after you draw lots, each person is allocated his share, both parties should make maaf. Both parties should ask each other for forgiveness. Perhaps I overstepped my mark. The other party asks for maaf. Perhaps I overstepped my mark. Such a beautiful four-step approach to resolving any business dispute. This is where both parties have the fear of akhirat in them. They've got this akhirat in mind, then this will work. So anyway, just to finish up the incident of Dawud alayhi salam. So now, when they come and they present the case, now they're explaining the case, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي. So the one person, the person who was oppressed, he starts talking and he says, with regards to the person that is oppressing. So he says, with regard to the oppressor who's his partner, he says, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي, that this is my brother. So ulama explained that even in a dispute situation, don't look at that person as your opponent. If you look at him as your opponent, perhaps there will be ulterior motives. Perhaps your ego will take over you. Perhaps that enmity and hasad and jealousy will overtake you. Look at him as your brother. You look at him as your brother, half your problem is resolved. Because you're looking at this man and you're acting in his interest. So anyway, so he explains, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي, that this is my brother. لَهُ تِسْعُ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَ وَلِيَ نَعْجَةُ وَاحِدَةً. He has 99 ewes, 99 sheep. I only have one sheep. فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. Despite me having only one, this person, he wants me to hand over my one to him. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And he is very powerful as far as speech is concerned. The same hadith which I explained, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warning us that you may be very influential, you may be very powerful, you may employ the best advocates. But remember something, that this doesn't get you anywhere. In that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I am apportioning for you the fire, or a portion of the fire of Jahannam. So anyway, then one principle that Dawud alayhi salam explains, he explains that وَإِنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءَ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Then very often in a partnership you will find one partner oppressing the other partner, except وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ, except very few partnerships. So therefore in today's time also, although there is virtue for going into partnership with a person that is Allah fearing, for a person that will fulfill the haqq of partnership, especially in today's time, if people are rushing into partnership, they're rushing into sharing, shareholding, being co-shareholders with other people, be very careful. There's one principle being taught to us. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ. Many, many, many partners, they trespass the mark as far as their partners are concerned. And then he explains, except for a few. And who are these few? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. Except for those people, for those partners that have iman, true iman, they got akhirat in front of them, they do good things. And then the ayat says, وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. However, there are very few partners like that. So when people want to rush into partnerships, be very careful. Yes, there is virtue and there is fazilat in the hadith mentioned for a partnership that is done correctly. But this overlying principle of partners doing one down or one against the other, this is something that we have to be very, very careful of. And this is something that will take away the barakat, will take away the barakat very, very quickly. I'll just terminate on a short story and then inshallah we'll terminate this Jummah incident or this Jummah khutbah. There was an incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had purchased a donkey from a Bedouin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slightly out of Medina Sharif. He purchased a horse. He purchased a horse from this Bedouin, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed the price, the deal was done. Nabi sallallahu told him, follow me, when I go now to Medina Sharif, I'll get the money and I'll give it to you. So he was following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but very far away from the back. So he was leaving a very big distance. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he noticed that this person was doing deals with other part people that he saw on the road. In other words, he was trying to get a higher price now for his horse. The deal was already done with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was trying to get a higher price for his horse. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that, then I already do the deal with you. Is our deal not concluded? So he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where's your proof that this deal is concluded? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was such that he did never entertain fights, he never entertained problems, especially as far as the dunya is concerned. There was no talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting involved in any dispute. There was a sahabi by the name of Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu. He came quickly there and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am your witness. Nabi alayhi salam asked him, how can you be the witness when you were not there? How fair Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He could have said, yeah, here is my witness. He told him, you were not there, how can you be my witness? So he tells, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believed you as far as akhirat is concerned, as far as things that are far away are concerned that we can't even see. How can we not believe you as far as this horse is concerned? So from there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the witnessing of Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu is equal to the witnessing of two people. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take this horse. He realized that this person is not happy. He didn't take it. This was his style. What a beautiful method and approach. Rasulullah sallam didn't take this horse. It is mentioned in Zadul. This part of the hadith is in Abu Dawud Sharif. And the balance is mentioned in Zadul Ma'ad. It is mentioned that the next day, this person found his horse lying dead, with one leg sticking up. In other words, that barakat of that horse also left. So when a person is involved in disputes, when a person is involved in problems, then automatically the barakat is taken away from that partnership, from that business, that barakat is taken away from what the person is doing. So therefore we should try and always, whatever disputes we have, try and resolve it amicably. At the end of the day, this is how a Muslim should behave. If barakat is there, it will be there. We will see the effect in our lives. We'll see the effect in the happiness of our children's life. We'll see the effect in our family's life. And barakat is taken out, we might see all the figures on the bank statements, all the figures on the financial statements, but in the practical lives of the people, there'll be nothing but misery, nothing but fighting, nothing but problems. So this is why we should always aspire to bring barakat in our life. Having disputes, having problems is normal. It's the way we approach it and the way we resolve it. May Allah give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.